Hey folks, in this interview, I'm speaking to Christine Allward. She's a photographer based in Sacramento. We're going to talk about photography, modeling, and business. Christine, welcome to This Week in Photo. How's it going?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm, as you know, as part of this series, which is kind of a Sacramento creative series that I'm doing, I now live in Sacramento.
I know.
Yeah, partially thanks to you and your tireless, you know, ferrying me around to all different parts of the town. So thank you for that.
Of course. I'm glad you found something. I'm glad it worked out. We're very happy to have you in Sacramento. I hope you're not melting. You moved in the summertime a little bit. So
I moved.
I hope you're okay here on the face of the sun.
Oh, geez. Yeah. It gets a little toasty out here. I moved, I think, probably on the worst day you could possibly move. And I have to move again next month, as you know. So it's, that's another story for another time. But it's, I'm living temporarily downtown until the place that I'm ultimately going to end up is finished, and then I get to move out there. So two moves in 3 months. One guy,
no, thank you.
Two moves, 3 months.
No, thank
boom.
You.
No, it's good. It's good. I'm enjoying this. And part of what I wanted to do as part of TWIP or This Week in Photo's relocation to the Sacramento area was kind of reach out and talk to a lot of the creatives in the area. And obviously, you're one of them. So,
well, thank you. We have a lot here. So I hope you're finding lots of people to talk to.
Yeah, it's very surprising how vibrant and robust the creative community is here. But before we dive into that, I want to talk about you.
Sure.
So this is all about you. This is your.
Oh boy. Okay.
So photography, right? So I know you and I go back several years. You know, you've been on This Week in Photo before,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
You know, your husband and I have hung out, all this stuff. So in terms of your transition, so you went from model to photographer, and there was that overlap in there where you were a model and a photographer. Tell me about that kind of. The move into modeling and then ultimately into photography.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think to even go a step back, it goes photographer, model, photographer.
Mm.
I did, you know, photography in high school. That was when I first was introduced to it. You know, did a lot of landscape stuff in Yosemite and kept having jobs that were unfulfilling, and I was doing the 9-to-5 and the like cubicle that I hated thing. So in trying to get out of that, started going to photography meetup groups here in Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
which is what drew me into modeling. Going to those groups, A, there's never very many women, so they all start wanting to shoot the girl who showed up.
You become the de facto model.
So it kind of turned into, wow, hey, I'm not that bad at this. I'm actually learning a lot about photography, being photographed,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that kind of took me away from photography in a weird way, and I started just modeling and doing Sec Fashion Week and, you know, getting paid to do that. And I got to a point where I had to decide what I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And while I got a lot out of modeling and I really enjoyed it, it wasn't the long-term goal for me.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to, I actually got approached by an agency and they were willing to sign me. And so that was kind of
wow.
the tipping point. Do I want to spend my time doing this or am I going to buckle down and work on my photography, and that's what I ultimately decided to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have that look, and as the viewers can see, you know, I'll throw some of them in the video, in post production, but in the blog post as well, you provided some images that kind of show your work mm-hmm. as well as you know what your modeling prowess is. And you have that kind of, I don't know, yeah, Tim Engle and I were talking about it. You have that kind of noir kind of. I can't even put my finger on it. It's like a classic look. It's like a classic look, right?
It's the cheekbone. It's the jawline.
Is that what it is?
All, that's all it is.
Well, it's called DNA and genetics, right?
So, yeah.
But that's good. So you made the transition. So then, well, let me, so this is the question that pops up in my head is like, okay, which one is better? Is it better to be in front of the lens and you know, having the makeup artists fawning all over you and stylists fixing your clothes and the photographer heaping praise on you, or to be behind the camera and being the director and controller of everything?
But I mean, being made up and all that is so much fun. Like, yeah. I'm not going to say that it wasn't enjoyable and wonderful. I mean, it's great to be the canvas, but it was getting to a point where I think at least here, you know, if I had gotten signed and started doing, and let me just go back. I wasn't going to be signed as a fashion model. I was going to be signed as a commercial lifestyle. I would be the mom in the ad with the kid, yeah. like, yeah. you know, which is fantastic. But I lose too much control, I think, with that.
And I've seen you around town. You're on billboards in Sacramento, yeah. and right? Yeah. Doing that very thing.
Doing that thing, selling the product, selling the experience. Yeah. And, you know, some of my concerns were, if I have a business and I'm modeling, am I going to be able to turn down work because I don't like what that image, you know, it's my face. It's like, if it's a pharmaceutical company who mm-hmm. hired me and I'm representing some drug that I don't think pairs with my business, mm-hmm. can I say no to that? And it got to be pretty sticky with the things that I would have had legally binding agreements to do with this agency. It was losing too much control of my image. You know, the fun part is still fun, but I think my face representing too many things got sticky for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're a bit of a nerd too. So you on the photographer side of things, I know you geek out about cameras and lenses and computers.
Yeah.
You sent me a picture the other day of a RAID array that you just got. I mean,
I just got it. Yeah. You know, the new camera led to the new iMac, which led to the new NAS RAID. I don't know, all of the above.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm really not that big a nerd. Those things are my Achilles heel.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. Like, as my business grows, those things are so important for me, and I have to learn them.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't interest me as much as it does a lot of other photographers that, you know, they geek out and they understand that stuff to its core, and I will figure out how to understand it so that I can use it.
Yeah.
And that's really as far as I want to go.
Well, that's what a tool is for. I mean, you use the tools as tools, not as objects of desire. And you also have kind of an ace in the hole over there, because you have your husband that loves this stuff and can assist you. So you're not
yeah.
spending all night Googling on which RAID should I buy and, you know, what's this versus that, right?
I actually did not decide which brand to buy. He did. I didn't even have to make that decision. So, and, you know, but he works for a big company. They have an IT department. He could go ask them. And then it's built-in support, because they'll just, like, buy him some beer and they'll come over and help if it
like,
breaks.
Dude, go fix that. Go fix that.
You know, that's right. What they use. So I'm like, yeah. Oh, I got some built-in help. But, you know, it's, you wear a lot of hats, and I try to be as efficient in all the things to run a business by myself that I can. But it's definitely will take the help where I can get it.
I love it. So are you done modeling completely? Have you put a padlock on that trunk and moved on, or is it still open a little bit?
I still see value in being photographed for a couple reasons. I think I mostly photograph people. I'm a portrait photographer. So keeping kind of in tune with what the people that I photograph are experiencing, the longer I've stayed out of it, the more nervous I've gotten doing it again. And I think that's good to experience, because I can really help my clients calm down when I just did a photo shoot the week before, say,
yeah.
and I'm like, oh, I remember how that felt.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, when I first started getting photographed, maybe I'd like 1 in 100 images. And now I like 50%.
That's like, good.
The more I get photographed, the less hard I am on myself.
Yeah.
And I think that is really helpful in photographing people, because I understand that their initial reaction may not have anything to do with me and what I did. There's this gradual process in learning how to look at images of yourself and not beat yourself up over it. And that is something that I think that's one of the biggest lessons I learned about modeling, was how to look at an image of myself and be like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to rip it apart, right? But I'm like, no, that's a great image of me. I think that's gorgeous.
Yeah. And like, a lot of it's the photographer that's shooting you as well. I mean, you know, it's learning to work with a particular photographer or photographers. There's kind of a symbiosis that goes along there. In other words, if you're working with a photographer that you just met and you don't really click with, the resultant images, you know, all things being equal, may not be as good as one that you're like, hey, dude, and you're joking around and, you know, cracking jokes with as you're doing the shoot, right?
That's definitely true. I think that being able to work with the same photographers for a couple years, there's a level of comfort that can make more interesting photos as you go and, you know, willing to try things, not worrying about if, you know, if this shoot results in nothing, like, oh, well.
Yeah, at least we had tried. Fun. Yeah.
You know, but I think, you know, it's, there's still, you know, from the beginning, there's a lot of the same photographers in that mix. And I was way harder on myself then, even though it was the same person shooting me, than I am now.
Yeah.
So that lesson and the way that I can talk to my clients and kind of help them not pick themselves apart, I don't know if I would have known how to do that had I never experienced being photographed as much as I was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's all experience. So if you're shining a light on various facets of your experience in the whole photography kind of ecosystem, some people like me, you know, I'm not a model and never will be a model. So therefore, I will never have that perspective of what it feels like to be behind in front of the camera being photographed and the nervousness and all that stuff. I can deal with it, you know, from to a certain degree, but I can never internalize it as well as somebody that has done it and then has stepped behind the camera. So that's a definite advantage, I think. So I think, you know, that kind of parallels when I talk to wedding photographers or female wedding photographers. They say something similar about how they're able to, you know, without sounding sexist, they're able to do things that men can't do.
Sure.
You know, beyond just getting in the room when the bride is dressing and not feeling creepy about it. You know, it's other things on a more psychological level.
Sure. I mean, whether they've been a bride themselves or not, I think there's still a different connection there between just having a woman, you know, her mom was a bride. Like, she's been around brides that are either her family or herself. So yeah, I think there's a level of empathy that wedding shooters have too, that's an advantage.
Yeah. Well, let's switch gears a little bit. Sacramento. So we're both sitting in Sacramento. Sacramento's gigantic. You're a long way away from me, but we're both in the same town, relatively speaking, thanks to the internet. But why Sacramento? Why do you live in Sacramento?
I've been here 10 years now. I can't say that I chose it. I kind of ended up here.
You were a vagrant and you just kind of blew into town one day?
I was living in Tahoe. I was still in college or just about to graduate. And Ryan, my husband, his job was here. And he proposed and we got married. And his job won. So I came here. Mm-hmm. I hated it at first. I was living in South Lake Tahoe. I mean, going anywhere from there was just like impossible. But over the years, this has really become home. I mean, I hear it all the time. It's like I travel, I go other places, and I'm always happy to come back.
That's funny. That's what, you know, I interviewed Tim Engel. He said almost the same thing verbatim.
Oh, really?
Yeah. yeah.
Still fine. Yeah. No, it's easy place to live. It's easy to get around. It's getting more crowded, but it's,
yeah, I mean, especially after this interview series, I think, you know, it's, you know, and I think I might be an example or a core sample of the type of person that might relocate to a city like Sacramento versus down south in the Bay Area. And it's, for me, yeah, it's about cost. Obviously, it's much cheaper up here. It's definitely much cheaper, still expensive comparatively, but it's still much cheaper in this area.
We are still in California. So.
You're still in California, so yeah, don't get it twisted. But at the same time, one of the main things that drew me here, and as I was having this conversation with my real estate agent, was, you know, I gave him some very broad stroke parameters. So I was like, hey, I want a metropolitan area with a vibrant kind of you know, restaurant, not so much, I'm not that much of a clubber, but, you know, just kind of restaurants and nightlife and that kind of thing. In culture, I also would like close proximity to an airport because I tend to fly a lot and I want to be able to get in and out without having to suffer bookends of traffic on either side. And, you know, a list of other things like that. And most arrows pointed to this area, right? And honestly, I had never considered Sacramento at all.
I know. People still think we're a cow town. I don't even know what that comes from historically. Like, I mean, I know there's agriculture here, but we've been the state capital.
Well, most people from outside of California that don't know geography will say San Francisco or LA is the state capital, right? And I would say San Francisco is kind of de facto the state capital, right? Yeah. Even though Sacramento is. And there's a whole story behind why Sacramento is the state capital. The gold rush and all that stuff was kind of centered around this area. So, yeah, it's just, it's interesting. And it's just weird that I had never even considered it. I don't know why I never considered it. I just, in my head, I just like Sacramento, that's a drive-through town. You never go, you're not going to stop there, you know?
I mean, and I felt the same way. If I hadn't kind of ended up here, it wasn't anywhere I ever thought to myself, yeah, I'm going to live there when I, you know, settle down and have a house and a family. Like, not on my radar, but I got drawn here somehow, and I'm pretty happy it worked out that way.
Right, yeah. And then the other surprise for me was the photographic community and how, like, we talked about in the beginning there, how vibrant and how many photographers and models and makeup artists and places to shoot. It's crazy.
And it's, I mean, the creative community in Sacramento, for the majority of the time, you know, they're there to help each other, and there's not a lot of negative vibes between everyone. Like, everyone's pretty cool. They're doing their thing. They want to help you do your thing.
It's pretty chill. Now, you mentioned like I just said, there's a lot of places to shoot around here. What are some of your favorite places to shoot? I'm sitting literally across the street from the Capitol Park, in the Capitol building. And every time, you know, usually almost every day or every other day, I'll go hang out in the park or whatever. And I'm always, especially on weekends, there's brides, there's weddings, there's quinceañeras, there's all kinds of stuff. There's always a photographer there with a crew and lots of people dressed up. You know, the park one of your places to go, or do you have hidden nooks and crannies?
I don't go to the park for the exact reasons you just outlined.
Because of that. That's why I don't go.
But, you know, well, now we're the farm to fort capital, but up until 6 months ago, we were the city of trees.
And what does that mean?
So
the farm to fort capital means they changed the sign on the water tower as you drive into town.
Yeah. Our tagline, the city's tagline has changed.
Okay.
Some people are super mad about it. Some don't.
It's farm to fork instead
farm
of what?
Fork,
what was it?
City of trees.
City of trees. Okay.
City of trees.
Got it.
So, I mean, The Capitol Gardens are beautiful. They're well maintained, lush and green most of the year. But it's a very overgrown city. Like, the trees are very mature in most places. So I tried to just go find a cool alley or something off the beaten path that is hard to figure out where you are.
Yeah, it could be any city USA, right?
Aside from a couple places at the Capitol, like, there's a big marble archway, or if I'm shooting for a politician and it has to be something recognizable as Sacramento, which would be the Capitol or the Tower Bridge, or which is our big, like, that gold bridge. I try to make it more nondescript than that if it's a private client.
Love it.
Yeah, the politicians are the only ones that, or maybe some real estate agents, they want it to be Sacramento. Otherwise, I just, you know, Old Town has got lots of exposed brick and, like, crumbling stuff. There's lots of texture. There's tall enough buildings to get shade at all hours of the day, you know, and narrow alleyways. So you can definitely get that vibe downtown. And then we're, what, 10 minutes from being kind of out in the middle of nowhere, you know, 20 minutes. You can head up towards Tahoe, be in the pine trees, be in an open field, so you can get urban environments, you can get kind of sweeping landscapes and
you head over to a vineyard, you can get vineyard shots of rolling hills covered in vines, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd say within 45 minutes in any direction, you can get totally different landscapes to shoot.
Yeah.
So
cool.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variety. Everyone's out shooting the sunflowers right now. We've got all the sunflower fields.
I need to get out there.
I think they're dying. I think
my drone wants to go get some aerials of those sunflowers. I think that's next. Okay, yeah. So you mentioned like popping around and doing the archways and stuff for real estate agents and politicians, etc. Any trends in other sorts of patterns you've seen that people are requesting in your work?
Yeah. So I don't know how much we've touched on this. We've touched on it on other TWIP episodes. My foundation was really in doing family photography, portraits mm-hmm. Of kids and families and stuff like that. And in the last 6 months, my clientele basically has completely done a 180. I have no more families. I have all corporate and commercial clients. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason for that is that the corporate world, their marketing, they want it to look like a family portrait as far as style, you know, obviously not kids and families, but they're not interested in buying a stock image. They want something that's natural and authentic. And I've heard that now from a couple photographers in town that, you know, their client list is changing.
Yeah.
And they're getting work based on this, you know, really interactive portrait experience that they were doing for family clients, that now businesses want that because it looks more authentic. That's what they want to put on their website. They don't want their clients to know that they bought this photo and it looks super polished and perfect. It's like, no, the lighting wasn't right. It was a bunch of shadows, but we don't care. That's what we want.
Reality, so it's, right?
We want reality. We want to show an authentic experience. So, like, natural headshot or natural image, like, that's the buzzword. That's what everyone is saying. It's all of my clients, everyone I'm submitting estimates for, that's what they're looking for.
Really? So no more gray, seamless paper with the three-quarter turn and the hand on the chin looking at the camera?
No. I mean, there are still people doing it, but I feel like I think it could get to a point where what I'm doing is going to start taking away from that if they don't change what they're doing.
Well, I mean, it's a sine wave, right? I mean, there's trends that mm-hmm. ebb and flow, and the zeitgeist of what people think is cool changes over the years, which is good. Keeps it fresh, right?
It does, and, you know, and I hope that I can continue following those trends. You know, I think what I've done is kind of shifted. I didn't have a really straight road when I planned what my photography career was gonna look like. It's been everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
You're sailing. But, you're zigzagging. You're just sailing.
Going.
Long as you like, keep forward momentum, you're good.
This engineering firm wants to hire me to help with their branding. Okay, that sounds awesome. But it's hard too, because what they expect and what, you know, family of four expects and how you treat them has had its own learning curve, trying to figure out like how to deal with how they want to be treated, I guess. You know, it's like, I can't talk to a mom the way I talk to a director of marketing. It doesn't go over the same, and vice versa.
Yeah. Even if the director of marketing is a mom, they're in director of marketing mode when they're,
right,
when they're like, not in mom mode. Right.
You know, negotiating with a family, I almost can't treat my business like a business. I have to treat them like they're a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I treat them like they're my business, I would get just like really bad response. Mm-hmm. And then now that I'm dealing with corporate people, I've had to bust out my negotiating skills and like be a little bit more of a hard ass. And that's gotten me farther than like, oh, well, yeah, let's see what we can do, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, being nice never doesn't really get people. I mean, you want to be nice, but at the same time, there's that line between business and being personable. Mm-hmm. You know, because depending on who you're dealing with, they may take your niceness as a weakness and take advantage of you, right? So you gotta be nice but firm
at the same time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've had to figure out what things to be firm about, and like, you know, what the value of my work actually is. And I actually think I've done better negotiating with corporations than I was with families, because you don't want to hurt their feelings, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, but it's for the director of marketing, it's just business. You know, be more legit about what you can and can't do with them, and they'll either hire you or they won't. And even I get less offended when they don't hire me as opposed to a family, because that you have to make it so much personal,
right?
More personal for those clients. So it's been an interesting transition.
How do you handle the question both from the moms and pops and also the directors of marketing and politicians and real estate agents?
Mm-hmm.
The question of, hey, I want to hire you. How much does it cost? what do you say?
You know,
we all get that, right?
Yeah, I think the thing that I have learned, I was really bad at this probably up until the beginning of this year when I decided I had to get better at business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I quit my job, I started doing photography, and I was just flying around with my camera, like hoping for things to happen.
Shotgun.
And I've had to decide to get better at running a business for my own sake. And so, you know, you have to know how much it costs you to go do a photo shoot, regardless of who it's for. Like, what is your bottom line? You can't make it up for every person. Like, your costs are your costs. So having to figure that out was something that I had never taken the time to do before. So I know if I leave the house with my basic kit, it's going to cost me this much.
Yeah.
So why would I charge someone less than that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because in the end, if you do that, if you cheat yourself, you're not really cheating yourself, but if you undervalue your services or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, you're it's a psychological thing on you. Because when you go out, you're just in the back of your head, I'm not making any money on this anyway, so why should I, you know. But if you feel like you're adequately compensated and no matter what, you're in the green, then it kind of, mm-hmm. you know, subconsciously changes your mindset about shooting. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I feel like I didn't even know I was being underpaid because I didn't understand my overhead and my costs.
Yep. Yeah.
So figuring that out has changed how I answer that question, mm-hmm. because, you know, what I charge someone for my time shouldn't change, I don't think, but the type of client may dictate different usage, different ways they're going to use the image. You know, if I'm going to shoot a family and they're going to put a 16x20 in their house, or I'm going to shoot for a company who's going to use all those images for the web or for a billboard or for a magazine ad, my time and my costs shouldn't change for either of those.
Mm-hmm.
Where the sliding scale is how they're using them.
Usage, yeah. Licensing.
So, like, learning all of this stuff has been, it's actually been really fun. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the way that I value my time now helps me not try to, I used to try to figure it out for every single person differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Based on what criterion? Like, wait, what are they driving? Is it a BMW or is it a Prius?
Let me bring out the Prius price list. Yeah. Like, I had my family price list, and, you know, I'd never shot weddings, so I didn't have to worry about that. But I always kind of had to have an idea of what it would be, because people would still ask me to do it. And it was just this moving target all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. So finally coming up with, like, okay, this is my base price. So then I tell people when they say, how much do you charge? Well, I start at $1,200 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about what your needs are, and we go from there.
Yeah.
So I at least try to give them a base, and then I can judge that reaction.
Now, is that base the same for the mom and pop that wants the 16x20 as the same as, say, some corporation, you know, like Apple calls you up, and they say, yeah, we need you to work on this ad campaign with us, and we'd love to work with you. Do you give them the $1,200 day rate?
In theory, yes. Because then their usage would be a percentage of either their media buy or, you know, some crazy usage.
Got it.
So, you know, my $1,200 creative fee for my time for whatever, however much time they want, I will be paid on top of that for whatever.
So if somebody watching this and they want to hire Christine the photographer, you have a rate that everyone's going to pay to get you to shoot, you know, for the day. And then on top of that, depending on usage, that's where it'll either be more if they want, this is going to be used in a commercial or in Times Square or, you know, on the web or whatever in advertising versus personal use. I'm just going to put it on my Facebook page and in the living room. Right.
This is my current working theory. This is something I'm trying because I've not landed on something that I feel like I've been really happy with.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot of business experience otherwise in running anything by myself. So, I just kind of keep changing it until I feel confident putting it out there. Yeah. Like, you know, the whole moving target thing, I always was second guessing myself. So I feel more confident with this structure and this way of doing it than I have with anything else that I've done. So, you know, I'm my own boss. I'll try it for a while. And if I don't like it, I'll try something else.
I love it. That's called life, right?
Well,
that's the way smart people operate life. So the I would say the not so smart people operate life as they find something, it's kind of working, they just stick with it until they die versus changing, you know, and like, hey, maybe if I did this, it might be a little bit better. Oh, that didn't work. Let me try this.
Yeah, I might try things a little too much. I should probably have a longer test period, but this model is working for me. I think the hardest thing about it is competing with photographers who haven't figured that out now. For example, I just had to submit an estimate. The marketing director is not in marketing by trade. He had worked for the company for a long time and ended up in it, had no idea what it meant to license an image for their branding for website use and for printing for promotional use. So I was competing with photographers that were back east. You know, that's a nationwide company. They weren't charging any sort of licensing fee. So he comes back and is like, well, I'm not sure what this licensing fee is. And I was like, oh, my God. Okay. So now I have to figure out how to justify it, how to explain it. You know,
and that's tough, right? Because it's education. You want to educate them. And then at some point, putting on my marketing director hat, right? At some point it becomes price-based because, you know, if I'm not savvy about photography and say I'm not, you know, I'm not sold on your work, right? I'm not hiring Annie Leibovitz, you know, and she can dictate prices, you know, it becomes a commodity and it basically becomes an equation. How much do I have in my budget for this? And then your dance becomes, do I educate them and get my licensing fee, or do I give the job up and stand by my guns and let this East Coaster take it? And you know, no offense, East Coasters. Yeah.
No, I mean, there's a photographer on each coast for this company. So the East Coast guy has it. I was able, because I was figuring out my value and how that worked, you know, instead of them going, well, this is our budget, can you do it for that? I didn't go, oh yeah, I'll match it. I went, I can match it, but it's going to change the term. So instead of doing a 5-year license, I did a 3-year. Oh, okay. So I was able to say, hear you, I can negotiate with you, here's how we can change it to fit your budget, which I think shows that I understand my value. I can change my price, but if I had just gone, yeah, sure, I'll lower my price, what does that say about what I'm charging?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And that goes for not just what you're doing, but it goes for TWIP advertising, you know, it's the same kind of, you know, obviously with some different knobs to turn, but it's the same kind of conversation, right? If you're having a conversation with an advertiser that is not savvy about podcasting. And so there's that level of education. And then, you know, if there's a lot of podcasts that people can advertise on. So do you want to give it up or do you want to stick to your guns? Do you want to lower your price? Yeah. And if you feel like you want to lower your price, how do you lower your price without it looking like you're lowering your price and devaluing, you know, the service itself? So
it's tricky. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what I tell people when they're doing friends and family work, which I try to avoid, but we all have to do it. But, you know, if someone asks you to shoot a wedding for free, like my sister is getting married soon, and she She didn't even ask me. She told me I was shooting her wedding. She told me, I'm the younger brother, so, you know. She told me I was shooting the wedding. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to invoice her, but I'm going to, you know, give her credit for 100% on it, just so that, not that I'm trying to, you know, pull anything fast, but I just want, I don't want my work to be undervalued. I want people to know that, oh, this is this is what this would really would have cost us if we had gone somewhere else, and he's doing it for free, you know. And I'll do the same exact service level that I would have done for anyone else for her and treat her just like a normal client, but there will just be no money attached to it. So and hopefully I'll get a good, you know, home-cooked meal out of it or something.
I was going to say, hopefully they feed you, because, you know, sometimes those wedding photographers, they don't get a meal.
Yeah, that's why you keep those power bars in your camera bag. I love it. Well, Christine, thanks for taking the time to do this. It's been
my pleasure.
Educational, talking to my fellow Sacramentan. Is that what we call people that are from Sacramento? Sacramentans?
Sure. I don't know. That sounds good.
I was going to go with Sacramentals, but that didn't sound right.
Oh, I don't like that. No. I like the other one.
You're a Sacramental. Maybe that happens Friday nights. I don't know. Well, cool. Thanks for coming on, Christine. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later. Bye. Okay.